In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. These last weeks we've been having a series on the letter of James. And it's come through to me that James was not interested particularly in teaching us any theological stuff. What the major thrust of this letter is his teaching the church how the church ought to live, how it ought to exist, how it ought to be, the changes that are necessary in their lives to now conform to the high calling of being in Christ Jesus. Right? So it's not written to those outside the church, it's to the church, and it's how the church is meant to live. And the readings, of course, are quite clear today that they've all been selected out to be the ones that talk about speech and the tongue. Now, as human beings, we are very well aware of our dependence on speech. I think of the number of times with the various dogs that we've owned through the years that we sort of try to explain to them why, no, it is not dinner time at 5:30 because the sun's gone down. It's dinner time is at least 6 or until we've eaten. You know, and you explain it in quite clear words. And they look at you and they, yeah, of course, but can we have dinner? But all our pets, you know, we use words. But they're not listening to the words. They're listening to our tone. They're listening, reading our body language. They're reading us in their way. They don't care about our words. We could be saying it in grumps or French, or I would think dogs are very clever if they understand French, but, you know, that's one of those things. But we depend on words. Now, when James was written, words and speech were about was the significant method of communication. Oh yes, there was writing, but only very few could write and read. So the majority of how things were done was by the word, the spoken word. Our world is very different. Our world, we communicate, yes, by speech. We communicate on our computers, Facebook and all that sort of stuff. We communicate in very many ways. And it seems to me if James had been living today with all that stuff, he'd be adding a few more levels to just the tongue. Right? So the stuff we need to talk about and think about doesn't just apply to what we say, it also applies to what we write and what we read and what we listen to. All of us know that to share juicy pieces of information about somebody else is one of the most exciting and nice things you can do. We all do it differently, and we all pretend that we don't. As if we're Christians, we pretend we don't. But we know we have and we do. James is writing to ordinary Christian people like you and me. And he's telling us that we have to take authority and control and responsibility for the things that we listen to, the things we say, and nowadays the things we write and the things we read and the things we look at on telly as well. Because what he's actually getting to the point is, all that stuff that comes out of us, either in speech or in writing, comes from the depths of our heart and our being. It comes from the true interior self. You might be perfect, but I'm not. You might be able to control everything you say, and so when your kids drive you mad, or Mrs. So-and-so takes the seat, or spills the whatever, or, you know, the stuff that goes on, nothing touches you, you're still calm and lovely, and oh, it's all wonderful. Me, I get inside very often. Hopefully it's a little less than it was a few years back, but I've got my doubts about that. But what we have to take control of is how that then expresses itself. Because we know we're going to get touched by things, right? That's just the human condition. But how do we let that then express itself? Do we let it all go and spray over everybody and everything? Some of us do. Some of us, of course, are very good and we bottle it up until something else happens and then we go choom in a very inappropriate situation. God calls us to take authority and control over that aspect of our lives. Is it going to be easy? No. Didn't promise it was going to be easy. He just said, get on with it and do it. But why? Why is it so important for us to take control over our tongues and what goes into our heads and what comes out of our heads? One of the things that I have noticed over my years is that, particularly in prayer, now it's good to have silent prayer, all right? Most of us, I hope, are regularly in contact with God in our hearts. And singing praises even in our hearts, right? This morning was beautiful. Our place, I just happened to be having breakfast when the sun was just rising on the east, so we're looking west, and the hills, you know, the way distant hills, would just have this wonderful purpley, light purple colour. And it just grew and grew and grew over a couple of minutes, and then we had this bright, this beautiful light. I turned around to cook a bit of breakfast and I came back and things had changed. Cloud had come over and it was all dark. So that extraordinary piece of beauty had been taken away. But I was thanking God for that beauty during that time. And you've probably done similar things. You know, Port Macquarie is great for that. But when we pray out loud, our prayers have an authority and a power that a silent prayer does not have. That's why we have people come out and pray for you. I hope your prayers don't just pray in your heart for the person, because you know, you'll get a bit further if you say some words. Right? But when we say things, I don't know why it is, but it has an authority and a power that just being silent does not have. Many of you will have experienced that. Some years, well, 40 years ago, maybe it's only 39 now, Jenny and I had the house on Florida Street. My God, to me that seems close to town now, but never mind. And we had a good deal of oxalis in the front garden. Now, those older gardeners of you will remember that 40 years ago, dealing with oxalis was a bit tricky. It's a weed that has lots of little bulbs, and you pull it all out, and those bulbs stay in the ground, and they come up happily and say, but there's more of us. And we didn't have all the kind of chemicals that would deal with them that you can now. And I can't remember the total situation. But I do remember that I thought, well, hang on, you know, if Jesus could tell a fig tree to fall over, maybe I can tell the oxalis to fall over. So this day I went out and I cursed the oxalis in Jesus' name. Right? Absolutely. Out loud, Jesus' name, I curse you, oxalis, die. Fortnight later, at least, or within that next fortnight, it got very sick and died. Right? Yeah. And some of you are going to say, Chris, what were you really doing? Well, I have to tell you, God said, don't ever do it again. Right? That's not the way to garden for me, and I think probably for all of us. What I did learn was the authority that you and I have in Christ Jesus. And what we say has authority and power and achieves and does things. And that is why James is so insistent about this matter. Because what you say has power. You have the power to bless your children or grandchildren. You have the power to bless your friends' gardens. One of the Psalms says, and puts it in the negative, but you know, obviously people used to go by other grain fields and bless them in the name of the Lord. Oh, there's there's Jacob's grain. We bless you, Jacob's field. May you grow. Right? And one of the problems was somebody wasn't doing that blessing, you see. That was one of the Psalms. Our words have authority and power as Christians, even when we don't intend them, perhaps, to have power. So it matters what we say and how we say it. It matters what we write and how we write it. It matters what we send on to other people. When I was growing up, my mother had a phrase which I think she learnt from her family, don't know how many generations back, but it was simply this: do not open your mouth to fill other people's. Now, I'm not sure whether about 40 years ago I preached and used that phrase over in the church here or somewhere else, but I remember a couple of people afterwards said, you know, they got quite angry with me for using that. But it's still an effective phrase. Don't open your mouth to fill other people's. Don't send the gossip on. When it comes to the emails, don't send them on unless you're totally sure that the thing is true. That a friend sent it to you does not make it true. I have been sent innumerable emails. Not innumerable. My wife used to get innumerable emails until she kept on telling everyone, don't send me this stuff. No one got round to sending me too much. But I've had a few that then I have checked up the truth and I have found out that what was being sent on was not true. But brothers and sisters, even if it was true, does it need to be sent on? Right? We are responsible for what we do and what we say and how we transmit things. Because these things have power to bless or to curse. I'm thinking of one or two people that I've ministered to over the years. And the Lord's reminding me that one of the things that happened for them at school was a teacher saying, oh, you're stupid, or words to that effect. Right? And some of you will say, I've been there, or my kids have been there, or I know someone who's received that. That has, for these people, was a totally negative, binding experience. Fortunately, God brought some healing into their lives and set them free. But the point is, those words had authority and power to destroy a life. Equally, some of you will know that someone has said something to you at some time that has set you free, that has enabled you to reach higher, to pray better, to engage God more deeply. There are words of blessing, and they had authority and power. Brothers and sisters, controlling that stuff in our hearts and our lives in our tongues is not easy. We are a broken creation unless we are in Christ Jesus. We have sin touching our lives. We have this brokenness in every part of us. which is why Jesus came to die for us and to set us free. But we have to appropriate. We have to hold on to what Jesus has done for us, and we have to always be making the decision to do what he wants us to do, not what feels good to the old man. Brothers and sisters, we can make choices. We can do that. That is part of our freedom. Yes, it helps very much if we look to Jesus. It helps very greatly if we seek the Spirit in our lives. It helps enormously when we seek the Father's will for us. But sometimes in the heat of things or the mess of life, it gets the better of us. I guess what we've got to do when we know we've done something wrong in that area is immediately ask God's forgiveness and the person's forgiveness and take some authority over our words, to take the authority out of those words. God will show you how. Each situation is different. But it is important. Remember, Jesus has said to us, watch your words. Bless, do not curse. Command. Bless, do not curse. Because in that blessing that we can give, we can send out God's love. We can pour out the power of the Spirit. We can pour healing and redemption and renewal. We don't have to do great, wonderful study things to do this. We just have to be gracious, holy, gentle, positive. We have to do what James is calling us to do. And when we do, the glory of God will be upon our lives. His glory will flow through us to others. And God will be praised, and his glory will be enhanced. To our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, glory in the church, now and forevermore. Amen.